for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 July Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday morning, July the 6th, 2011. Jesse and Kara Berkey are the speakers of this service teaching on restoring the sons and daughters to God.
Okay, we're going to have Jesse and Kara come and share with us. As soon as we get them all set up, we'll start.
Lord, we just want to give you this time, and Father, I pray that you would anoint the words that Jesse speaks, and Holy Spirit, we ask that you would guide and fill our mouths. We have nothing to offer outside of what you have to give. Anything that we would say out of our flesh would fall to the ground anyway. So God, our mouths, our voices, everything that we have is yours, and we pray that you would speak through us, that this time would be anointed, and that everybody would receive what they need to receive. We pray that hearts would be open. God, that you would just do a work here in Jesus' name.
And Lord, I pray that you anoint the words that you give care to speak as well, that the words that come out of our mouths would be two-edged swords, Father, that you would use them to pierce our hearts and show us your love for us and your unending mercies for us. And we ask you right now, Father, to begin to plow the fallow ground, Father. Holy Spirit, that you would go forth and just begin to take a chisel and a hammer and just begin to break apart any hardness in our hearts, that your message could get into the crevices and begin to weave and begin to work and begin to explode the blocks or the boundaries that we have set up and allow the enemy to come in and erect in our lives. Like Kara said, Lord, I ask that you just prepare the hearts to receive, prepare our hearts. We bind every spirit of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness in Jesus' name. We tear down every stronghold or rule that has exalted itself above Jesus Christ. We tear down every vain imagination in Jesus' name. Father, we pray that you wipe our slates clean in this moment. In Jesus' name. Karen and I spent some time praying and we felt like the Lord wanted to bring a message that he had given to me next. So, we speak what the Holy Spirit has given me, no more, no less, by the grace of God. I tried to speak more before, that didn't really work out too well. Yeah, I've been there. It's not a good thing when you have to just, when you get that check in your spirit, when you're going down a road that the Holy Spirit doesn't want you to go down, you have to go, and then somehow get back on track. Normally it's like kind of a mumbling. Anyway, back on track. The title of the message or the word that I feel like the Lord wants us to receive this morning has already been said here. It's restoring the hearts of the sons and daughters. I feel like that's a powerful word for today. In this season, in this time, there's a powerful work that God wants to do in restoring our hearts to Him. And it's restoring the sons and the daughters to God. There's been such a tearing down of our hearts and how we relate to Father. So many of us have a inaccurate picture of who God is in our lives. And the ironic thing is that most of us, if we were asked, do we know who God is, we would say yes. But many of us don't really understand who He is. Many times it's, I know who God is in my head, but it seems so difficult at times to really talk about who God is from our hearts. And who He wants to be for us, and who He has always designed Himself to be for us. And, you know, why is that so difficult for us? Why do we have such a hard time sometimes expressing or even relating to God? I was standing in the kitchen one afternoon and I was asking the Lord what He might want to have me speak to you all while I was here. And he spoke to me in my kitchen. And he said, just tell him who I am.
Okay. Yeah.
Thanks. I'll tell him who he is. God is love. Good night, everyone. Life's changed. I believe God wants to be experienced in our lives through relationships. That God created relationships on this earth as a tangible representation of who He is and who He wants to be. I believe that the most powerful relationships that we have available to us here on this earth are the relationships with our parents, the relationships with our spouses, being the most intimate that we can experience here on this earth, and the relationships that we have with our friends. Satan knows this, too. Satan knows how God wants to relate to us. Satan knows that a tangible representation of who He is in our lives is an incredibly powerful thing. I read a quote from an email I got that said, God does not expose our needs in theory, but through our relationships. It's through the relationships that He brings into our lives where our needs are exposed. Where He can show us the work that He wants to do in our hearts. And he does that one-on-one too. As you know, the most important relationship that we have is a one-on-one intimate relationship with Father God. But there's an incredibly powerful use for relationships here on this earth. And Satan has brought destruction to relationships with our parents, relationships with our spouses, and relationships with our friends. From the beginning of time, He has weaved a web, schemes of destruction to those relationships, destroyed them, brought separation, brought division, brought strife, brought hardship, lied to us through them. Every 9 seconds, a woman is beaten. 1 in 3 women have been beaten or assaulted. The leading cause of injury to women is assault, domestic violence. 1 in 3 teenage girls in relationships report that they have had violence threatened against them by their significant other. Every 2 minutes, there is a sexual assault. 40% of women have confessed infidelity in marriages. 60% of men have confessed infidelity in marriages. From the Journal of Couples Relationship Therapy, the statistic is 80% of marriages have or will experience infidelity in one way or the other. 80%. That's an 80 on there. That's an incredible statistic. Tragic. Every 10 seconds, a child is reported abused. Approximately 5.8 million children a year are abused. 90% of sexual abuse is by a known person. 68% of sexual abuse is by family members. 5 kids die every day from abuse. 1 of 4 girls, 1 of 4 women in this room, 1 of 6 men in this room have been sexually abused. That's the statistic. And that can bring that home in a powerful way, in a painful way. But let's begin to bring some of these things into the room where we are so they can be relevant to our lives. And the statistic that I found in regards to friend and the relationships that we have with our friends is 22% of people have said that their friends have upset them. Considering that statistic, I'd say that it's probably closer to 100%. I think that every person in this room has been hurt by somebody that was supposed to be a friend.
I want to share here that in our lives, what we've seen is, I mean, we all know the people that can hurt us the most are those that are closest to us. And in our marriage, as we shared in our testimony, there was an affair that happened. And that affair was not a stranger. It was somebody that was a close friend of ours. And through that, through our experience, we've set up very strict boundaries on relationships with others. And, you know, women to men and men to women. And, you know, the boundaries to protect ourselves in our marriage. And we've had friends that have come up against us and said, But we're your friends. That won't happen with us. And there's been some offense about the fact that we've had these boundaries that are so strict, you know, with them. And they're like, but we're family. We're friends. And we've said, well, that's where the infidelity happened, was with friends. And so sometimes we let our guard down with people who are friends. And I don't want to say not to trust anybody, but that to have those boundaries, to guard ourselves, I believe the Lord calls us to be discerning and wise in relationships. And so I just wanted to share that as a little tidbit, to not let your guards down, but to still trust in the God that you see in others. That's what we can trust. Because if Satan can take us completely out of fellowship through the hurts and pains, then he's already destroyed us. Because it is through God that we see, or through others that we see bits of who God is.
I see the pain and the brokenness of individuals every single time I go to my job as a firefighter paramedic. Going out there, responding to calls, I see it all. I see such pain and torment and torture, abuse, domestic violence, all sorts of these kinds of things is so prevalent in today's society. And now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of our hearts. We're getting into the nitty-gritty areas and regions of our hearts with this kind of stuff. Because the wounds and the pain that people that are supposed to be the safest people in our life do to us, they wound us so deeply. The wounds go so deep. And in those times where, you know, unfortunately, and I include myself in this, most of us don't forgive. Most of us let the sun go down on our anger. Over the course of the years, that stuff gets pushed down and stuff piles up on top of it. And the journey back into the depth of that pain is painful. And it's the nitty-gritty, like I said before. But the reality is that God is love. That's the reality. But there's been another reality that has exalted itself above that reality in our lives. Satan's design is to separate us from that God is love reality. And we, as a result, have had a perverted reality. The perverted reality has exalted itself above the true reality. And we talk about our inability, our inability to be able to touch, to be able to tap into the heart of who God really is. And it's because there's this reality, because of the pains and the wounds that people have done to us over the course of our lives, that it is exalting itself. It's an antichrist spirit. It's exalting itself above the truth. And we've believed it. We've believed that reality. And so this morning I want to share who God really is with you in the three areas that He's represented to us in relationships, and that's of a father or parents as a whole, husband, spouse, and friend. And these all come from the Word. As I looked at this and I considered this list, I asked the Holy Spirit to bring to my heart what we want in a parent, what we desire, what we need, what our hearts are looking for and desire in a parent, in a father, in a mother. And the first one is an endless love, Ephesians 3:19. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. His love surpasses knowledge. Surpasses it. We cannot comprehend all of it. It's impossible for us to comprehend all of it. We get glimpses of it, and He fills us to the fullness of the measure that we're able to handle it. And I do believe that as we grow and as we mature, that our hearts are even further open and we're able to hold even more of it. But the love of God is so great that it surpasses our knowledge. It just does. Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. The word everlasting there in the Hebrew is time out of mind. It's a past and future. It's an eternal love. You gave everything for us. We want our parents to give everything for us. He gave everything for us. 1 John 4:10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 13, Jesus washes the feet of his disciples. Hebrews 1:3, Jesus being the exact representation of Father, washed the feet of his disciples, giving up everything for them. Our Father claimed us. We want our parents to claim us. God claimed us. Isaiah 43:1. But now this is what the Lord says. He who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Romans 8:15, the Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit that you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. By Him we cry, Daddy. He claimed us. He is our nurturer. Isaiah 49:15, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. The picture is of a mother holding her child at her breast, nurturing her, giving the things that that child needs. That's the image of our God, our loving Daddy, holding us, nurturing us, giving us what we need. He is our comforter. We want our parents to comfort us. Psalm 56:8, thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? 2 Corinthians 1:3, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. He is our encourager. We want our parents to encourage us. He is our encourager. Romans 15:4, for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind towards each other that Christ Jesus had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We want our parents to accept us. Ephesians 1:6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved. That's it. End of story. We are accepted into the Beloved. Hallelujah. He enjoys us. We want our parents to enjoy us. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who says He will take great delight in you. In His love, He will no longer rebuke you, but will rejoice over you with singing. Our Daddy sings over us. Isaiah 62:4, no longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. Those of you who don't know, Hephzibah in Hebrew is, you are my delight. You are Daddy's delight. He is our provider. And Abraham, Genesis 22:14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, God the provider. And it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And one that we all know, Matthew 6:30-34, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will He not much more clothe you? You have little faith, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. He knows that you need them. That is a promise. That is a promise to come against the lie. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has trouble of its own. Our Father is our provider. We seek first the kingdom. He is our provider. We want our parents to protect us. We heard an awesome word yesterday on Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 on your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say the Lord is my refuge, and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. And he will call on me, and I will answer him. And I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Our daddy is our protector. He is our avenger. Hebrews 10:30, for we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. We want our parents to be there for us and to avenge us and to stick up for us. That's who God is. He is our teacher, 1 John 2:27. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. God is our teacher. We do not run to man to receive man's teaching. The Lord teaches us many times through man, but it's the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Spirit that teaches us. We want stability. Malachi 3:6, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, the descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. We need our parents to be truth in our lives. He is truth, Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Hebrews 6:17, because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the heirs of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things about our Father, in which it is impossible for God to lie. So many of us have been lied to by our parents. God cannot lie. He gives us purpose. We want to feel purposed by our parents. We want to feel purposed. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He gives to us, Isaiah 40:29. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give ye the desires of thine heart. Psalm 37:4. He is our loving disciplinarian. Oh boy. He is our loving disciplinarian. Mercy and truth together, right? Both not opposing each other, working together to give us a perfect representation of perfect love of the perfect Father. Hebrews 12:6, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Revelation 3:19, to those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. There's not condemnation in his discipline. It's love and restoration. Every time that we are disciplined, it's with love and with restoration and reconciliation of us to the Father on his heart and on his mind. He's not out to hurt us. Anybody who says that God is a punisher and sets himself up as an angry God based on the Old Testament doesn't understand the Old Testament. Doesn't understand the God of the Old Testament. We need a new God. We need a new representation of who God is in our hearts and in our lives. We want to be able to come to our parents and tell them the things that we've done and be forgiven. Mercy extended. Grace shown. Hasn't always been like that for us and the parents that we grew up with. That's who God is. Isaiah 1:18. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And the idea here behind that passage is that there, it refers to a dye or a stain, a red stain, actually a double strength stain that has penetrated down. And the language here in the Hebrew is that it gives the impression in the picture of a permanent stain. But it's not permanent, because our daddy washes it away. Why does no one come back to him? Washes it away. There's no permanent stain that can stand before the grace and mercy of our Father. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Lamentations 3:22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Lamentations 3:23. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Our parents operate to the best of their ability. They showed us to the best of their ability what they knew. We all respond out of our own wounds and out of our own hurts. Wounded people wound people. It's just the way that it is. And it's a tragic thing that we've been wounded. And it's not what God wanted for you. He wanted all these things to be represented in how we grew up. And even right now, He wants us to substitute the parents that we knew. And there's no judgment on them, on our parents. They're not the bad guys. Like I said, they're doing the best that they knew how to do. We've been wounded. We need to substitute what we knew to be true for what is really truth. I want to, before I get into who He is represented as our spouse, I want to take a minute and, like I said, we're getting to the nitty-gritty of some things here. Some deep hurts and some deep wounds that have been done to us as we've grown up and distorted our view. And I want to invite everybody to close their eyes. I don't have to do this, I'm inviting you to do it. I'm going to stand in for fathers. My precious son, my precious daughter, I'm so sorry for all the ways that I've hurt you growing up. I'm so deeply sorry for not representing who God wanted me to be in your lives, for not cherishing you as God wanted me to cherish you, as God cherishes you. So sorry for hurting you. So sorry for wounding you so deeply. When you were a child, you wanted to run up onto my lap, and I was too busy to allow you to come to me. Please forgive me for that. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me for showing you a limited love. Please forgive me for not nurturing you. Please forgive me for not comforting you when you were in pain and you were in turmoil, and you needed to be comforted, and I wasn't that for you. Please forgive me for abandoning you, for leaving, for making you feel rejected. Please forgive me for not protecting you from the things that you should have been protected from the things that you were exposed to. I wasn't there. Please forgive me. Please forgive me for not being a stable person in your life. Please forgive me for not teaching you the things that I should have taught you. Forgive me for all the lies, please. I've lied to you over the course of your lives. I haven't been truth to you. I'm deeply sorry for that. I ask you to please forgive me for not being truth to you, for telling you lies, for not fulfilling the promises that you made or that I made to you. Things that I promised you that I never did. I'm so sorry for that. Please forgive me for that. Forgive me for not encouraging you and making you feel accepted. Forgive me for not showing you that I delight in you. When you came to me and you told me the things that you have done in your life, and I gave you condemnation instead of love and forgiveness, please forgive me for that as well. I bless you. I bless you to grow and become the woman that God has called you to be, the son that God has called you to be, the man that God has called you to be. I give you permission to grow and develop and mature and to take on the heart of the perfect Father. You are so worthy. You are so significant. You are so loved. You are so cherished.
And if you can keep your eyes closed, I want to stand in for any mother hurts. I know typically we see God as a father, but God is everything for us, so He can also have that mother heart and fulfill all those same needs that we need in a mother. My precious children, I ask for your forgiveness for not showing you endless love, for showing you love based on works and performance, for not providing everything that you've ever needed, for being overly frugal, withholding things that you may have needed, for not claiming you as my own, for not nurturing you when you were hurting and sad or just wanted to be held, for not comforting you and being there for you when you needed me, for not being your avenger and not standing up for you and brothers and sisters and friends or anybody else may have been picking on you, for telling you to just deal with it and get over it, for not being your teacher, for allowing you to do as you pleased and not teaching you right from wrong, for not being a stable person in your life, for fluctuating from happiness to depression, and for not making you feel like you had a stable place in my heart, for not speaking truth to you and being truth to you, for lying, for not keeping my word, for not giving you a purpose in life, for letting you flounder around as if you had no purpose in life, for not giving you my heart, for not giving you myself, for not encouraging you, for being critical, for being harsh, for being angry all of the time, for not accepting you, for making me feel like you had to do something to gain my acceptance instead of accepting you as you were, for not enjoying you and taking time to play with you and get on the floor and just be silly, for being overly serious, for not being your provider, for allowing you to fend for yourself, for not being your protector, for not guarding you, for not standing over you and allowing you to rest under my shelter, to rest in my arms, for allowing our home to be a place of unrest. I ask for your forgiveness for all of these things. And as a mother, I bless you to grow in the knowledge of the Lord, in the understanding of His depths, in peace and rest and comfort and joy and grace, that His arms are wide open to you as mine weren't. I ask for your forgiveness and I bless you. In the name of Jesus.
The most intimate relationship that we have available to us on this earth in a tangible way is one with our spouses. The opportunity for the most intimacy. God is revealed through Jesus Christ as our spouse. This one can typically relate to typically a little bit easier for women to relate to this representation than men, because we have the gender, you know, it's not easy to, I mean, it's not hard to understand why men can have a difficulty relating to Jesus as a husband. But if this helps you, the purpose of this representation is one of intimacy. And we see it as an intimacy, an intimate relationship. How Jesus is the most intimate relationship that we have available to us. and represented in that way. Jesus is our husband, our spouse, Hosea 2:16. And it shall be at that day, saith the Lord, that thou shalt call me Ish, and shalt call me no more Bali. Hosea 2:17, for I will take away the names of Balaam out of her mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. Ish in Hebrew means husband, intimacy, intimate partner. There's a deep intimacy there in that. And Bali is a symbolic name for Jehovah. You understand what's happening here in this passage. The context is in a wilderness where we have been drawn out into the wilderness. And it's in that place where we begin to see the Lord as an intimate partner. Even He's removing Himself in this context from Jehovah, way up there, untouchable, to down where we are. That's His doing. Are we comfortable with a relationship like that? I wasn't. I didn't used to be. I couldn't comprehend how that would happen. But right here, that's who He wants to be for us, giving up everything. Jesus, our intimate partner. Not untouchable anymore. Isaiah 54:5, for your Maker is your husband. The Lord Almighty is His name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He is called the God of all the earth. He's our bridegroom, our suitor. Isaiah 62:5, as a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. We want from our spouses rejoicing over us. That's what we want. That's what we desire. These are the desires of our hearts for our spouses, for our intimate partners. This is what we want most out of those relationships that have fallen short for us. We want to be pursued. Actually, let me back up. Matthew 9:15, Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. Jesus is the bridegroom. We want to be pursued. Women want to be pursued. There is sometimes a deep desire in the heart of all men, that desire to be pursued by a lover. I don't care what gender you are. There's only two. I don't care if you're a male or a female, it's the passion and desire of our hearts to be pursued by a lover. Luke 15, the lost sheep. Jesus left 99 in the fold and pursued the one that was lost. Did He say that was a male sheep or a female sheep? He did not. He said that was a sheep that was lost, and He left the ones that were secured in the fold to go after, to pursue that sheep and to bring it home. We want our spouses to pursue us. The Song of Solomon is a type and shadow of a lover pursuing his beloved across the country. First, another person, a foreign person, represented in Solomon, goes and takes a woman from where she was, from her betrothed. And the man that he took her from is actually a shepherd. A shepherd. That shepherd's lover or betrothed was taken from him. He didn't sit there. He didn't stand there. He pursued her across the wilderness. And he took her back. Jesus will pursue you. I remember saying to Kara one time, I said, you want to be pursued. This was after her confession came out, after what she told me what she had done. I said, you want to be pursued by God. The ironic thing is that you've been pursued from birth. From before birth, the minute you were born, the minute God created you, Jesus was passionately pursuing your heart, chasing you through every decision and choice that we've made along the way. He has been chasing us and pursuing us, and will chase us and pursue us until the day that we die. He will never stop. Never stop. We want our spouses to be our defenders, to come up beside us and to stick up for us. Romans 8:34. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Jesus is there interceding on our behalf at the right hand of the Father. Luke 22:31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith will fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. When the enemy comes after us, when we are pursued by our enemies and they encamp around us on all sides, Jesus doesn't just go and say, you're on your own. He's there praying and interceding on your behalf. He does not leave you to your own devices. He says, I am here for you. We can choose to take our own devices, but He is always there for us. He has never left us. He will never leave you. He is always there defending you. He is our rescuer. We want our spouses to be our rescuers. Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Titus 3:4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, He rescued us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His faith, His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Jesus is our rescuer. He is our intimate partner rescuer. Jesus is the answer to our heart's cry. Psalm 34:18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Jesus is close to your broken heart and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Psalm 6:2. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I am faint. Heal me, Lord, for my bones are in agony. My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long? This is the cry of a broken and desperate heart, and it's a cry to the Lord. He is the answer for the cries of our hearts. He is the answer for the desperation of our hearts. We long for that in our spouses. We want them to be that. We want them to represent that. We've wanted it. We've tried to grab it, and it's failed us time and time again. But that's not Jesus. That will never be Jesus. He is grace, Psalm 103:1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that was within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. For who forgives all thine iniquities, who heals all thy diseases, who redeems thy life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed as eagles. That's your intimate partner, Jesus. He will never leave. There's abandonment. There's divorce and separations that have happened. Jesus will never leave. John 6:37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. We want our spouses to share our hearts in intimacy with us. Can we just please have a relationship where our spouses will share our hearts in intimacy? It's what we desire. It's what we truly want down in the depths of who we are. The disciples of Jesus leaned on His breast. Can you picture that? Can you imagine that? Leaning on somebody's breast, reclining on them. Is there an intimacy to that? When was the last time you laid on your friend's chest? Like, lay my head on. Peter, do you love me? Jesus asked. Listen to that language. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Not do you like me? Not do you think I'm okay? Do you love me? There's love there. There's intimacy. There's passion there. John 15 is all about us abiding in Christ. Abide in me. Set your hearts. It says sanctify your heart. Set it apart. Set apart your heart for me, and I will abide in you and abide with you, and the Father in you, and me in him, and I in he, and this and that, and this and that. Yeah. I love reading through that part of that. It's just fun. We want our spouses to be sympathetic with us, with our hurts, to be empathetic with us. John 11:35, Jesus wept. So our spouses had been unable to show emotion, Jesus wept openly without shame. He showed compassion to the woman in adultery. He didn't condone or tolerate her sin, but there was compassion there in John 8. Show compassion to the woman caught in adultery. That's sin worthy of death. There's been so many teachings on that. I'm not even going to really touch that. There's just compassion there and intimacy and mercy on that. That woman was his bride. That woman is his lover right there. Jesus, the intimate partner, the heart of God, reached out to that woman and said, "You are mine. You're part of my bride. I want you. I've been passionately pursuing you. Return to me," he says. "Go and sin no more. Stop separating yourself from me." Hebrews 4:15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet did not sin." Not only is Jesus our intimate partner who can empathize with us, he's the one who never sinned. He can empathize with us and sympathize with us. He's been there. We want a spouse who has been there to help us come out of the things that we are going through. It's what we desire. He is that. He is dependable and trustworthy. John 14:6, Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Dependable and trustworthy. Always. He's our power of attorney. Mark 16:17. "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." This one's good. He is our lover. He is the one who loves us. So many times we exist in our marriages, or have existed in our marriages or relationships with significant others, and have never felt loved. They haven't been able to be the answer to that. But listen to what Romans 8:35 says. "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels or demons, neither the present or the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord." There is nothing that can separate us from that love. Nothing. We need to be able to extract the earthly relationships that have taught us the perverted and distorted reality and replace it with the truth of Jesus Christ, where nothing will stand in the way of his love for us. Nothing. Nothing will stand in the way. Nothing can take it away. Nothing can make it less than what it is. There is nothing that can exalt itself in truth above that love. About that love. Nothing. That is truth. And he laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for you. All of you. I've watched Hollywood and the movies that they produce representing this, what we would call a fairy tale relationship between people that exist in these movies. And what I believe they're trying to do, getting it wrong, what they're trying to do is represent the type of relationship that we can have with Jesus. The type of relationship that he wants with us. You know, you look at these movies and you look at these relationships and you say, that's just for the movies. There's no relationship that exists like that. But there's a relationship with Jesus that Hollywood hasn't even gotten close to representing that. There's so much more. It's such a greater love. So much deeper than what we have known.
We're going to do a little bit of the same thing. We want to stand in for spouses, for whoever is comfortable with that. If you want to close your eyes and just whatever God lays on your heart and just kind of forgive as these things come up. On behalf of all wives or significant others, I want to ask your forgiveness for leaving and for abandoning you. I want to ask for your forgiveness for not sharing in your heart and your intimacy and the things that you want to share, for ignoring or not being there during those times that you've needed me in that way. I want to ask your forgiveness for not being sympathetic or empathetic, for being harsh with you when you've just wanted sympathy or empathy from me. I'd like to ask for your forgiveness for not being dependable and trustworthy and for straying and just not being that person that you needed at that time. I want to ask your forgiveness for not being your lover, for not fulfilling those needs, for being somebody full of hate and anger and rage, a lack of compassion, for not pursuing you, for making you feel like you needed to be pursued by others because I ignored you, for not defending you when others were tearing you down, making harsh comments about you, for joining in that, for speaking ill of you, for not being your rescuer during those times, for abandoning you, for not hearing your heart, for not being gracious to you when you've come to me for forgiveness, for being harsh and resentful and bitter, and for rejecting you, for acting like I was better than you, for being holier than thou, for being self-righteous, for making you feel like I wouldn't lay down my life for you, that there were other things that were more important than you, for cheating, for straying, for abandoning you. And in Jesus' name, I bless you to pursue all of these things from the only one who can truly fulfill all of your needs. And that is Jesus. I bless you to receive love in a way that you never have before.
In the name of Jesus, power of the Holy Spirit, I stand in for husbands, significant others right now. I acknowledge your pain. You've been wounded. I have wounded you, and I have hurt you. I've caused you suffering. I've caused you so much hurt. I've damaged your heart. I've caused you hardship. I've not been who God wanted me to be in your life. I'm so deeply sorry for everything that I've done to you. I'm so sorry for abandoning you in your time of need. I'm so sorry for caring about what I wanted more than what you wanted. I'm so sorry for pursuing my own selfish desires rather than being a godly head of the house and providing godly for my family. I'm so sorry for betraying you. Please forgive me for betrayal. I want you to know right now that there's nobody that I found more beautiful than you. This is the truth. There's nobody that I found more beautiful than you. There's nobody that I found more desirable than you. But it was the wounds and brokenness in my own heart that made me think that I had to go to these other things. It wasn't you. It wasn't your fault. I am so sorry for the decisions and choices that I made in your life. I'm so sorry for the effects that what I've done had on our children. Please forgive me for not being a godly father that you desired for your children. Please forgive me for not accepting you. Please forgive me for caring more about my work and being at home with you and being the model of love that you are worthy of. Please forgive me for not being your friend even, your best friend, to be able to come and talk to you. Please forgive me for having a hard heart and not being able to empathize with you and sympathize with you and for telling you to get over your problems. For being angry and harsh, I'm so sorry for the violence that you suffered in my presence. Please forgive me for that. For the wounds that the anger and rage and wrath has caused to you in your hearts. Please forgive me for abusing you. I'm so sorry, I confess it. Please forgive me for that. And the destruction that caused. Please forgive me for shutting you out of my life. For using you. Please forgive me for taking away your voice. Please forgive me for making you feel inferior and insignificant. Please forgive me for lying to you. All the lies, every single lie that I told you, please forgive me. I lied and lied and lied to you over and over again, and I'm so sorry for that. I'm asking you for your forgiveness. And in the name of Jesus, bless you with healing, the ability to heal. I bless you to be able to switch the representation of your earthly spouse with who Jesus is, to bind up your broken heart right now in the name of Jesus, to repair the damage that was done. I bless you to stand up firm and strong, to allow the wounds to be real so that they can heal, to feel pain so that God can come in and soothe it, and to pour Himself out on it. Holy Spirit, I ask you to embrace everybody here. Just begin to hold them, hold their hearts, and begin to just heal any pain and any brokenness. To restore and renew and redeem and put back together again what was once broken. To wipe away all the dross. To rescue us from the mire. To set our hearts and our feet free. Jesus, exalt yourself. Be exalted. Let's have a couple here for friend, and then I want to play a short video for you guys just to bless you. We want friends who comfort us. I believe a friend is represented in this in the Bible as the Holy Spirit. In this way, the Holy Spirit represented to us as what a friend should be to us. Friend, comfort us, comforts us. John 14:16. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Our friends love us. Romans 5:5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. We want our friends to stand in for us. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. The Holy Spirit stands in for us. Our friends are safe. We want them to be safe people. 1 Corinthians 2:12, what we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit is who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Spirit is from God, that's safety. We want our friends to help us into truth. John 16:13, but when He, the Holy Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Holy Spirit will receive from me what He will make known to you. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. We want our friends to help teach us. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. We would love to have wisdom from our friends. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen, no ear has heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love Him, but God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. And though it be painful sometimes, we want our friends to reveal sin in our lives. We don't really want them to, but it's very helpful when they do it in love. John 16:8, and when he has come, he will reprove, convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's talking about the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit has come, he will reprove and convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. We've all had friends in our lives that were none of those things, or were some of them, and failed us in many different ways. The journey of forgiveness in the people around us can be very long one sometimes. As the Lord begins to reveal to your heart, the people around you have hurt you, I encourage you just to acknowledge that, to acknowledge the pain, and to begin to forgive. Lord, we ask you to bless the food they're about to eat. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.